From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. After a volley of letters and some finger-pointing from both sides, President Obama and House Speaker John Boehner have resolved their dust-up over when Mr. Obama will address a joint session of Congress to unveil his proposal for creating more jobs. NPR's Mara Liasson says the president will speak to lawmakers a week from tonight.
This is the first time in history that a Speaker of the House has rejected a president's request for a primetime speech to a joint session of Congress. The president had asked for time on Wednesday night, but that's the night the Republican presidential candidates are holding one of their primary debates, and Republicans were furious that the president would try to upstage them. So the speaker offered the president Thursday night instead, and Mr. Obama accepted, even though Thursday night is also the opening game of the National Football League season, which is likely to cut into the audience for the president's address. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.
Thanks to military helicopters, relief workers and supplies have reached all the communities in Vermont cut off by floodwaters from Hurricane Irene. Those waters now beginning to recede. Rochester, Vermont resident Troy LaPelle watched a chopper arrive as he made calls out on his cell phone.
Like we're in our own little world over here, but people have been able to get a hold of us on our cell phones up on the higher ground in the back, up on the hill behind us.
The flooding in Vermont damaged a state hospital, and Jane Lindholm of Vermont Public Radio reports there are questions about what will become of the 50 psychiatric patients relocated from that facility.
State Human Services Secretary Doug Racine says finding more permanent placements is proving difficult.
That's probably my biggest concern right now, is that we find the safe place and the right places for our hospital patients.
There are few facilities in the state equipped or willing to treat these patients for the several months it will take to get the state hospital back in service. For NPR News, I'm Jane Lindholm in Colchester.
Top officials from dozens of countries are in Paris today to hear from Libya's emerging transitional leaders about what financial help and other assistance they need. Britain's Foreign Secretary William Hague is there.
One of the things that this conference is showing is that the world is moving on and coming together in a new way to support the future of Libya.
NPR's Jason Bobian reports rebels say one of Muammar Gaddafi's fugitive sons is attempting to negotiate his own surrender.
The head of the rebels' military operation in Tripoli says Saadi Gaddafi is asked about the possibility of turning himself in. Speaking on Al Jazeera, rebel leader Abdel Hakim Belhaj says Saadi wants to remain in Libya and not be forced into exile. Belhaj says he assured Saadi that he'd be treated humanely and tried fairly before a Libyan court. Saadi is Gaddafi's third son. Three of his siblings fled this week to Algeria. One of Saadi's other brothers, Hamis, is accused of slaughtering dozens of unarmed prisoners last week. The whereabouts of Muammar Gaddafi himself are still not known.
This is NPR News from Washington. Fire crews in North Texas and Oklahoma have their hands full battling wildfires being spread by gusty winds in tinder-dry conditions. A blaze in Texas has destroyed three dozen homes in a lakeside community that was hit by another fire last spring. And in Oklahoma City, Michael Cross, a member station KOSU, reports wildfires have destroyed dozens of structures and left thousands of homes without electricity.
Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon is keeping a state of emergency in place, as well as a ban on any outside burning after two major fires broke out in Oklahoma City. Governor Fallon says these flames have been devastating to dozens of Oklahomans.
Our hearts and prayers do go out to the families and to the business owners that have lost homes. It's always a devastating experience to lose your personal possessions and certainly your home.
The governor has also filed for federal emergency grants to help cover the cost of battling the blazes. For NPR News, I'm Michael Cross in Oklahoma City.
AT&T says it will fight an effort by the Justice Department to block the company's proposed $39 billion acquisition of rival T-Mobile. Acting Assistant Attorney General Sheris Posen says unless the merger is blocked, consumers will suffer. And despite AT&T's claim it will try to save jobs, Derek Turner, a spokesman for a consumer group called Free Press, says that's hard to believe.
Over the past decade, when they've undertook numerous takeovers and mergers, they've shed about 100,000 employees, so certainly they don't have much credibility to stand on here.
AT&T's decision to fight for the merger sets the stage for the most significant antitrust battle of President Obama's administration. The Justice Department has rarely tried to take such matters to court. The last time it tried, it lost the case. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.